Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started. Welcome to another Whole and Healthy Life podcast. Today, me and the lovely Laura are going to be chatting to you all about energy. But before we dive on in, I thought it would be good to have a couple of updates. So, Laura, what on earth has been happening with you and how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. So, I think our first kind of new Whole and Healthy Life episode that went live last week was, we actually recorded that, didn't we, at the back end of last year? So, yeah. Since then, I'm trying to think of what's been going on. And like, I think January's been a bit of a whirlwind month.
Yeah, totally has.
It really just seems to have flown over. And I always kind of feel a bit better for having January done and dusted. I don't know how you feel about it.
I'm totally like that. I feel that a bit about February as well. I often sometimes feel like February, and just like by the time you get to March, you're like, oh, there's daffodils and there's like snowdrops and you're like, yeah, summer's coming. Whereas I think sometimes February and January can feel, and just a bit crazy actually. I always feel like January is going to be chilled, but it never is.
No, definitely not. I think it's been a very, very busy January for me. Nothing kind of like majorly exciting. I think I just had a really nice relaxed Christmas and just obviously been busy with Wholeheartedly Healthy and everything going on there. But yeah, it's just been nice and chilled. Finley's doing really, really well at the moment. I'm getting sleep. For Yay! Anyone who's used to the ongoing saga with me and sleep, we're getting sleep, which is fantastic. Also, another thing I've just remembered, if it's all right for me to mention, Kezia, is I'm hosting a showing of the documentary. Oh, yeah. So there's a really, really fantastic film called Embrace, which is about an Australian woman called Taryn. She had a really interesting journey with her own body image, and she created a film that kind of explores why so many of us hate our bodies. And I hear on very, very good authority that it's an absolutely amazing, very inspiring film. So yeah, do look out for showings in your area. I'm hosting a showing for the northeast. So if you're in the northeast of England, like Newcastle, Gateshead, Durham, even down to York if you don't mind travelling a bit further, you know, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, I'm hosting a showing at the Metro Centre in Gateshead on the Saturday the 25th of February at 3 p.m. So please do check that out. If you just kind of search for Embrace Film UK showings, it'll come. You'll find the details through Google that way. And I'd love to see some people there. Some, you know, guys, some listeners for the podcast, some of my blog readers. I'd really love to see some people there for that. So that is the exciting thing that's going on.
Well, that is. No, I've heard really good things about that documentary. I can't wait to go and see it. I just think we just so much need more of that kind of thing in
absolutely
media, in our screens, in our culture, in Instagram. I follow her on Instagram and she's just brilliant.
She's really funny as well.
She is.
So there's like a little Facebook group for the people who are promoting who are, you know, trying to host the film and get it out there. And, you know, I just feel really lucky to be able to host one. There wasn't any other showing going on in the Northeast, and I just feel like this has to be seen.
Yeah.
The more women that see this, the better. It's just so important. And I'm really, really excited to host that. So that's one thing to keep an eye out for. But other than
when is that?
That's the 25th of February. So it's on a Saturday afternoon. It's like a nice matinee showing. So yeah, 25th of February at the Metro Centre Orgeon. At 3 p.m. So what have you been up to, Kezia?
Well, I've been living in a kitchen saga.
I kept meaning to ask you about the kitchen because I kind of realised
that. Really good job you didn't. I would have cried.
Oh, like, no.
But I think as of this week, this is the start of February, I think it will be done, which is amazing. So it started the beginning of December and then was due to be done kind of before Christmas, and then it's basically kind of been delayed, not for any crazy reasons or really anyone's fault, just one of those things that just takes time, but it is looking beautiful, which is super exciting. So I think I'll probably be on like Facebook Live for like a week annoying people once it's done, being like, look at my kitchen.
I love stuff like that, so I'm really excited to see what it looks like. So you're gonna have to like put lots of photographs on Instagram.
Yes, no, I will.
And just so people can follow you on Instagram, what's your name on Instagram again?
Oh, it's Supernaturally Healthy.
Nice and easy.
Yeah. Oh, and while you're on Instagram, this podcast also has, we have our own Instagram account, which is Whole Healthy Life. So while you're on Instagram, we're going to be popping on there with posts and little Insta stories and all of that sort of stuff. So, and that will also be where you can ask questions, any questions or topics you want covered in the podcast. And that's probably the best way to get hold of us is through Whole Healthy Life on Instagram, because that's where we hang out. So yeah, that's my main update, really, getting on with business stuff and studying and the kitchen. And the kitchen being done, it's been usable for a couple of weeks, just not finished. So I'm just very excited for it to be like completely finished. And then I can do all the nice things of like, where am I going to put my mugs? And what about these vases? And what about the, I've got a huge wall now that's just empty. And I'm like, do I put art on it? Or do I put photos or a blend? Or do I just go wild and do like a whole mural? I don't know. So I don't think I'll do a mural because it's quite time consuming.
Yeah.
I always have this idea in my head that it would be fun. So that is probably my main update, I think, pretty much.
Very exciting. Yeah. And as we said, so we're going to be talking about energy in this podcast. And I think it's probably, I mean, although January has been hard for me, I think I've probably had more energy this January than I've had in a long time. And I think that's partly, I think we've both been doing the Yoga with Adrienne challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's partly, so if you're not familiar with that, so there's a fantastic YouTuber called Adrienne, and she records some really, really lovely yoga videos, and she did a 31-day challenge, Yoga Revolution, and it was quite challenging form of yoga, to be honest. I don't think it was like beginner friendly. I know that I had some feedback from some blog readers that they found it, you know, it was quite hard, but it was really enjoyable, and I think that really helped me. It kind of helped me through the topsy-turvy January.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
Well, I didn't do it super religiously. I kind of dipped in and out a little bit and did some other exercises as well. But I've actually found in January, I've kind of toned down some of my exercise. I was doing quite a lot of like strength and hip stuff, and that's actually really helped my energy. Mm-hmm. Not doing exercise, but doing a lot more yoga and a lot more just like really tuning in with my body and being like, do I want to do some squats with weights right now? No, I don't. Okay, that's all right. Let's just go for a walk outside, which has been really, really nice, actually. Yeah. And definitely. And I've also been realizing I need to eat more. Mm-hmm. That's really, like, I've been doing the annoying thing of tracking everything I've been eating for a little while. I don't do it all the time because it's a bit tedious, but it's quite useful for a short period of time. And then just being like, I don't eat a lot for lunch. Maybe. And so I've just been like having enormous lunches as well as my enormous breakfasts and being like, oh, I feel so much better now.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that very soon, won't we?
Yeah, definitely. To celebrate the podcast being back, we are hosting a live launch party. What we're going to be doing is looking at the foundations of a whole and healthy life. So we're going to be kicking off on Tuesday the 7th of February at 8 p.m. and just head to wholehealthylive.com/party to save your space.
So as we mentioned, today's topic of choice is all about energy, or rather lack of,
yeah,
shall we say, which tends to be the main problem. So this is something that I've experienced quite a lot, that I currently experience to some degree, to varying degrees. And I know that you've kind of got quite a lot of experience with energy as well. So do you want to kind of tell us a little bit about, first of all, like your personal experiences with energy levels and, yeah, start there.
yeah. And I think it's definitely worth saying as well, if you are experiencing really poor energy, do always chat to your GP about it. Because
absolutely.
Stuff that we're talking about here today is some of just the general stuff, bearing in mind we are assuming you've had your thyroid tested, your iron tested, your vitamin D tested. You know, your GP is wonderful, have a good chat to them. If they're not wonderful, find a new one, because they are basically wonderful GPs out there.
Because
low energy can mean nothing, and it can mean something huge as well within the body. So that is just pointing out. So, but I think it is, I think I have always actually found energy a struggle. I think even as from a child, I had a glandular fever a few times. So that's basically, it just wipes you out quite a lot. And as you rise, there's a virus. And then you get the post-viral things. And it's probably in the last couple of years, probably in the last 10 years, I've had definitely improved with it. But even now, as this probably even goes live, I would still say my energy has improved a lot as my digestion and health and whole body is healed. But it's still something that is a bit of a struggle. And that for me is because I have some adrenal dysfunction going on, and that can take quite a while to heal. And that is a big juicy topic that does affect lots of things. And I think we'll probably talk about that in a whole other episode. Mm-hmm. So that won't be the focus of that. But I think learning how to balance your energy and optimize your energy is really, really important. And also actually more recently, your mindset around energy. I know mm-hmm. we talked about that on the previous episode, but I realized recently, before we dive into some of the practical stuff, is that I was just judging myself constantly for not having enough energy. So say 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd be like, oh, I could just go for a little nap right now. And then I would instantly, that little inner critic inside my head would be mm-hmm. like, well, that's not bad. You know, you shouldn't be going for sleep right now. Like,
that's
why?
That's a health coach thing as well. Because I think, yeah. I think when you work in a profession like what we do around mm-hmm. wellness, I think there can be the opportunity for a lot of guilt when we don't have perfect health ourselves.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, like doctors aren't perfectly healthy. I mean, God, some of the ones I know are like the least healthy. Do you know what I mean? So I think we've all got our health challenges, haven't we? But yeah, it can be
yeah.
a sneaky mindset thing.
It is totally sneaky where you just judge it instead of, so recently I've just been training myself to be like, oh, I feel tired. Okay. Like no judgment or attachment to that. That is just the way it is. And the only reason I would feel bad about being tired is because I want to be more productive so I can get more stuff done. And, mm-hmm. blah, you know, you start through that whole chain of being like, well, it's because being productive is the best and yeah. I must get lots of stuff done. And so that's kind of a bit of the mindset stuff behind it. But I think there's loads of really kind of practical stuff that you can do. I think there's a couple of key areas that I think we should probably talk about, and that some of that is looking a little bit at your regulating your blood sugar. I think from a practical point of view, that's really important. Exercise and the balance between over-exercising and under-exercising, which I think we probably both have experience with, Laura.
Yes.
and then good old-fashioned sleep, which is...
that's my sore topic. I'm really hoping that by the time that this podcast goes out, my sleep will be fantastic, but we shall see. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, I suppose.
Yeah, but how's your experience with kind of your energy levels over the years, Laura?
To be honest, I don't think it was something that I was majorly aware of. I can remember when I think back to before I had Finley and kind of the years leading up to that, I can remember, you know, kind of driving home from work and feeling tired and yawning. I can remember being in meetings and yawning and just feeling that kind of the typical kind of mid-afternoon slump thing. So I don't think it was anything major. I think it was kind of what I'm sure a lot of you guys listening probably experience, which is just that kind of that tired, you know, that kind of afternoon slump, being in like a boring situation. Like, you know, I can remember going to like work meetings and just being absolutely exhausted in the afternoon because it was so boring. So I can remember that. And then got pregnant, had the first trimester, energy was just absolutely terrible. I think that was one of the first things that actually that was the first thing that I knew that I was probably pregnant, or that kind of planted the seed in my head thinking, oh, this isn't right, I'm either going to have my period or I'm pregnant. So the first trimester was horrendous, and it wasn't too bad. But then, obviously, you have the baby, and then in my case,
wonders for your energy.
Yeah, in my case, you don't sleep for over 2 years, or you get very little sleep over 2 years. So I sometimes feel a bit like a broken record, and I'm sure you've probably heard me talk about sleep before if you've heard me talk on live streams and things like that. So it is a challenge for me. It's just kind of the hand that we've been dealt with with Finley, really. He's now night weaned, so we practice extended breastfeeding. So we still breastfeed, but we don't do so during the night anymore, which is a really big change. And he's gone from waking up perhaps like 4 times a night, he was probably waking up down to around about 2 times a night. So that's a big change.
That's good.
And generally, he's a bit better at being settled. you know, just kind of cuddling in and settling a little bit easier. So that's definitely improved. I think what I found actually was when that happened and I suddenly started getting a little bit longer, a little bit more sleep and a bit of a longer stretch, I actually felt worse. So I don't know whether or not that's kind of like a hormonal cortisol-y something like that going on. And then this is definitely not my area of expertise. This is definitely Kezia's area of expertise. What I can talk about, and I will talk about, is the self-care kind of stuff around energy. Because I feel like I've sussed a lot of that kind of stuff out. Because I think sometimes, like, on the sleep side of things, if you know, there might be some mums listening to this now, like, you can't change that situation. I won't go down the idea of like sleep training your kids and stuff. I mean, that's a very personal choice, but that's something that I've never entertained with Finley. But like, really, haven't really got much of a choice. If you've got a little one and the little one's waking up, you know, you're going to have to say to them, that's kind of the way that it is. But I think there's things that you can do to support yourself around that. And what I found was that the lack of sleep was becoming an excuse. So I was just thinking, oh, well, I'm not getting any sleep, so I'm not going to bother doing, so what's the point in exercising? I'm too tired, what's the point in doing? So it's, again, going back to the sometimes how mindset stuff can slip in. I think it's about, you know, just being aware of any mindset stuff that might be going on around it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my like experience of it, personally. So right now, my energy's not terrible, but it's not where I know it should be. And I think that's kind of where we both are, isn't it? We know that it should be better.
Yeah, and I think some of that, I definitely know for me, I currently don't have any kids, but I know starting and running a business has probably not helped with my energy levels and and any aspect of life. You know, when you have a kid, when you start a business, maybe when you move house or you move location, any point in life where you're maybe pushing yourself more than you would do in like a normal day, in air quotes, where you kind of are like just pushing through on things, pushing through with sleep, pushing through on getting work done, pushing through on renovating that final room in your house that was a wreck and you want it to be beautiful or whatever it is. I think all of that stuff can have a real take a real toll on the body but there is things that you can really do, I think, to help. And I think you're so right with the whole mindset aspect as well. It's sort of embracing where you're at. If you do have tiny kids, like, or you've just had a baby, like, you're not gonna, like, the stuff that I talk about or we share with sleep, that's not going to be you're not going to be getting 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. That's okay. Like, it doesn't mean you can't be healthy. It doesn't mean you can't nourish your body in any other way. Some of you might work shifts where you do nights. And I used to work shifts years ago, so I would do night shifts and that would just bugger up your sleep no end. And you'd end up like craving a glass of wine at 7 a.m in the morning. it was so weird. I'd like be walking home from my shift being like, I really fancy sausages and wine, and then you'd look and be like, it's like 7:30, I still even though it's your bedtime, it still doesn't feel right.
I couldn't do shift work. I think it would just totally
I didn't mind it at the time, but it also meant some Monday mornings you'd be like, haha, everyone's going to work and I'm in bed. That would be like the plus side, but I definitely got to the point where my capacity for it was done and dusted. So I think it is, like you mentioned, Laura, I think sleep is really important and it's figuring that out where you're at. So for me, I don't have little people waking me up in the night, which is awesome and where I'm at right now. So it's really important that I try and get at least 8 hours sleep, but for each of us that will look different. So if you do night shifts, maybe it's making sure that you're not saying, you know, I'll pick up the kids after school at 3 o'clock, because that means you get 4 hours sleep instead of a full day. When I used to do night shifts, I was very careful to make sure nobody interrupted me at 3 or 4 o'clock, had a blackout room and that kind of thing. Or if you can, I don't know, there's lots of different strategies. And actually now sleep's getting a really big profile online.
It is massive.
Which is great.
To be honest, actually to the point where I actually felt anxious. because we're hearing a lot about the negative health consequences of not getting enough sleep, and that actually made me very anxious because I wasn't getting any sleep. I couldn't do anything about it, and I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to get diabetes. I'm going to end up, you know, with all these kind of terrible things. But it's actually a really good thing that sleep is having. It's got such a big profile now, and that people are talking about it because it is important. And I think the days of kind of like, you know, people being in the office until like 10 o'clock at night and getting high fives and stuff is long gone. At least I hope it's long gone. So I think that's really important. And I mean, again, I think did we do a podcast on sleep?
I think we probably did, yeah.
I think we did, yeah. I think we kind of talked about it in its entirety. So I think, you know, kind of check back at that. I'm just having a quick look to see whether or not we did. I'm sure we did at some point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. Because I think
It's episode 8. So if you look for episode 8, sleep and your health. So if you want to kind of find out a bit more about sleep, because I think there's lots of things you can do to help get a better night's sleep in terms of like some of the things that you like, the routines and things that you can have before bed. Yeah. So yeah,
that is a good place to look. Sometimes I've had clients being like, I'm really, really tired. And then I probe and I find out they maybe are getting 5 hours sleep a night. And you're like, problem solved. If you can, like if they can, if they're in the position where they can actually, instead of going to bed at 1 a.m., they go to bed at 11 p.m., then that can be quite an easy win. So I think that's probably quite an obvious one. I think another thing that's quite important as well is looking at our blood sugar, which I don't think is a particularly sexy topic to talk about.
I'm sure a few years ago it was kind of like, you know, people were talking about it a bit more, but yeah, it's so do you want to describe a little bit more about how blood sugar affects energy?
Yeah, so your blood sugar, basically what the analogy I like to use is if you imagine a roller coaster. So if you have, you know, if you're going on an extreme roller coaster, you're going to have some real high peaks and some really high drops. And if your blood sugar is like that, then that can cause a lot of problems. So by that, you eat whatever food you eat, you digest it, and it ends up into your bloodstream. That's the whole point of digestion, taking out the good stuff, putting it into your bloodstream very basically. And then from that, you end up with lots of glucose in your blood. And so your body releases insulin to then kind of process that glucose, because it's not healthy to have high levels of glucose in the blood all the time. That's when we end up with things like diabetes. So if you and your blood sugar is making sure that, you know, is going to change throughout the day, but you almost want it to be like a nice wave, just like up and like nice, gentle kind of wave. You don't want it to be like a crazy, wild, extreme roller coaster, because that can often have, it just adds a lot of physical stress to your body. And so a lot of the time, a lot of people I chat to, and I know with myself as well, some of my energy issues and clients that I work with energy issues comes from adding the stress to the body of having real high peaks where we eat a lot of refined carbohydrates or refined sugars or just a lot of you know, just more sugary based or carbohydrate based food without the fats and proteins, and then we can just cause this like very quick spike. Or it's things like your quick sugars, like if I just downed 2 tablespoons of sugar, that's going to get to my blood very quickly and will cause that kind of very quick and acute kind of insulin response. So what you want for lasting energy is you want that kind of nice chilled wave. And you are going to get peaks and troughs with the insulin because we have meals throughout the day, but you do want that to be more balanced. And that's a very kind of just a broad picture, but I like the whole roller coaster. And then the chilled out wave, that's kind of where we are. And it also affects your mood as well. Mm-hmm. Like it is quite, if you get kind of irritable when you're like, you don't just get hungry, you get like, I'm going to like rip your head off and become
hungry.
Yeah, like hungry, really, really hungry, which I used to. I used to be horrible if I was hungry.
Yeah.
I'm quite calm. And I would just be like, bleh. Like, just so rude to people before lunchtime. And then after lunch, I'd be like, oh, happy again.
Yeah.
And so I think that can be a big difference. And the sneaky thing sometimes about blood sugar is you're not always hungry. Sometimes you don't necessarily feel hungry physically, but it's good to have something to eat. So in terms of helping your blood sugar, this is kind of bearing advice for people. Obviously, if you've got diabetes and things, then you need to kind of chat to your own kind of healthcare providers about that, because your blood sugar's already a bit all over the place. Mm-hmm. But generally, I encourage a lot of people just to eat more fats and proteins, especially in the morning. And before I dive more into that is, I'm not saying carbohydrates are bad. Please do not hear what we're not saying. Carbohydrates are lovely. We love them. But in the morning, especially, if you can just increase your fat and protein uptake, so your healthy fats would be things like whole natural yogurt. If you can tolerate dairy, you might have like whole milk in your kind of porridge. smoothies with like almond butter in, avocado with eggs. Eggs are a great source.
Yeah.
You know, just having high amounts of that in the morning can really, I noticed that for me when I made that shift, it made a really big difference, as opposed to just, I just used to have toast and then I'd be like hungry by about 9:30.
Mm-hmm. I think having like a decent breakfast rather than just having something that's a bit flimsy and non-existent, I think makes a big difference. And I think a lot of us are getting used to just kind of having breakfast on the go and not being very, not being very filling. And I think that can have a really negative impact. So, I mean, I used to do that with smoothies. I just didn't make them filling enough or dense enough, really, in terms of... They were nutrient dense, but they probably weren't dense enough in terms of calories to be sustaining. So that's something I found with smoothies. But I mean, I've made the switch to, I'll either have eggs with avocado and a piece of fruit, or I'll have porridge where I whip an egg in. Sounds nice. Weird, but it's really nice. With some almond butter or peanut butter or something on top. So those are the ones that tend to keep me going for quite a while.
Yeah.
And do help.
Yeah, no, it is. And it is one of those, I think it's one of those key easy wins that you can do that just helps. If you are on the run and maybe you normally just grab a banana, then maybe grab a banana and a little bag of almonds or something. Yeah. Like, just match that with some sort of kind of fat and protein or do, like, you're right, a lot of people with green smoothies just use fruit and vegetables. But if you're looking to make that a meal, that's not enough. You really need the avocado and almonds and peanut butter and all sorts of good stuff in there as well. So I think that is probably like a main thing that can really help. And I think also making sure people, now this is a lot, this kind of depends on person to person. Some people do better eating 3 good square meals a day and then they just are better with that. But some people do need a little bit more of the healthy snacks in between. I'm a bit more of that kind of person. And I also always suggest with clients to eat your snack before you get to the point when you're going to rip someone's arm off.
Definitely.
Because if you imagine, like, you've already gone to that trough, if you're feeling that stress on your body, and that can just really impact your energy for the rest of the day. So I think snacking sensibly and not being afraid of snacks as well. And finding what works for you. I do know a few people that just, like, I have a sister-in-law. She's not a big fan of snacking. She just has good proper meals and then that's it. But I do better at about 3:30 now. This is around the time that I would have
I've literally just sat and ate in front of Kezia several carrots and peanut butter.
Yeah.
With my 3 o'clock snack. I can't go from like lunchtime. And I think I prefer to have, we were talking about this before, weren't we, as well, I prefer to have like a slightly earlier lunch. So never any later than 12:30, but sometimes like 11:30. Like today I ate my lunch just before 12:00, so I like to have like a big breakfast and then lunch about then, and then a snack, and then usually like a smaller dinner. And that kind of works well for our family as well, because James doesn't get until quite late, so just something quick and easy to prepare works well. But again, I think it's just kind of just making sure that you are having like substantial meals,
and stuff with that's going to be filling in it. So if you're having lunch, say your lunch is leftover risotto or something, or it's making sure you add some sort of fat or protein to that. I think you do want a really well balanced meal with carbohydrates, fat, and protein. It sounds really basic, but it's often, when I look at people's food diaries, it's often people swing to the either extremes. They either just go like, well, I'm just gonna have a brown rice salad, or I'm just going to eat like a steak and eggs. And you're like, oh, well, unless, you know, you're on some specific protocol, which probably isn't that helpful, make sure you are having, because it's your fat and your proteins that will keep you kind of fuller for longer, and it's your carbohydrates that's going to give you that kind of instant energy. They're really simple things, but they're often things we do forget to do, and having a good breakfast, planning in a snack if you get hungry. And also, if you get hungry, like, be okay with that. Like, you know, sometimes women get a bit like, I'm hungry, but I'm just going to keep on going.
I mean, that brings me, and I mentioned this in the last podcast as well, but that kind of brings me back to our secular nature is women, and the fact that our energy levels are going to wax and wane with our cycles, and that's quite a natural thing that happens. And just to kind of be aware of that and to be kind with yourself on that. So the kind of stuff that I've been reading in the tracking and stuff that I've done is that generally kind of around before your period and at the time of your period, you're going to not be as, you know, you're naturally probably not going to be as energized as what you would be at the other times. And that's okay. And to kind of not push through it and actually to be accepting and welcoming of that kind of thing and to take that as an invitation to actually slow down a little bit. So for example, one of the changes that I've made is that I don't do like really intense exercise around that time. I prefer to just do yoga or nothing and be okay with that because I know that my energy levels are going to dip. I think as well, I don't know whether you find this, and I don't know whether or not there is anything like, you know, scientific to back it up, but it feels to me like it would be natural to be a bit more wanting to hibernate it during the winter and autumn months.
Yeah.
To have like, to maybe not have the same kind of energy levels that you have in the height of summer in autumn and winter when it's dark. Like as we're recording this right now, it's starting to get really dark.
Yeah.
Like I can actually just feel myself kind of like, you know, it's, I'm sure that must make some kind of a difference. And I think it's kind of just being accepting of that and working with it.
Yeah,
as well.
I think so. And listen to your body in that. Like I know in winter, like what, you know, I live in Scotland. So the kind of foods that as a land we produce in winter are very carbohydrate, starchy, filling kind of thing. You know, we're not growing lettuce right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't eat a lot of salad at the best of times. But if I lived in California, I probably would. Like when I've been to a place like in Thailand, all I wanted to do was eat was a flipping salad, but I couldn't find one anywhere. It was all like spicy pad Thai, which was nice, but like 40 degree heat, you do just want a salad. But I think it is. And think then that is okay. There is, like I was going to go for like a little run this morning and then I got up and it was peeing with rain and cold. I was like, oh no, I'm not doing that. Yeah. And that is okay. So I think it is a really kind of tuning into your body. And some days it's going to do you good to kind of push yourself and not push yourself. That's not really the right word, but kind of, you know, energize yourself through activity or whatever. Yeah. Sometimes it is. It's like, I know I
it's,
am.
It's, it is. It's such a balance, isn't it? Because it is kind of figuring out like, and this to me is like, it is the essence of self-care, if you like. And this is the difference for me between following, you know, you can do, like, you can find all of them, like, you can find these 12-week plans for weight loss or whatever, but none of them take into account, like, all of the things that we've just described. And I think for me, this is a difference between doing, like, a short-term thing and being healthy for life. Because when you're healthy for life, you do need to take these kind of things into consideration. So I find that just kind of being okay with where you are at the time and being accepting of how you feel and not knowing when to push and when to pull back is all part of learning how to be healthy for life.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Because in the past, like, if I had a cold, like, I would still be at the gym. Like, I would be at the gym. Me too. Whereas now, it's like, there's no way I would push myself in that way. Do you know what I mean? But back then, it was all, again, like, the focus for me was all about, like, weight loss and maintaining weight loss and all that kind of stuff, and I just couldn't imagine not doing it. Whereas now, it's all about kind of just it's comes from a self care point of view rather than like I must lose weight at any cost.
Yeah,
kind of point of view.
Yeah, and sometimes if you're struggling for energy, it could just well be you're doing too much.
Yeah,
like there's too much going on in your life. Like I think sometimes we can like, and I don't know, I fall victim to this a lot being in this profession of like, I'm so tired. Well, it must be my adrenals, maybe it's my thyroid, maybe it's my vitamin D, it must be my iron, maybe it's my methylation process. Oh my God. Like I can go to, whereas actually, good job, I have another half who's talk sense. He's just like, because it's just because you've had a mental week.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you've been busy, you're now tired. That's a natural cause and effect of life. And I think sometimes we have this idea that we're meant to be like energizer bunnies the whole time, but it's honoring the cycle of sometimes I'm going to feel really energized and sometimes I'm not, and both are good, both are important. And and I think that is definitely, you know, it's common sense, but if you're just doing too much, then your body is going to be like, hey, I need some downtime. And I think that is really important. What about exercise, Laura? How do you find that fits in with energy? Do you find it gives you more energy, drains it?
Generally, I find it gives me more energy. The trick is getting to the point where you can actually be asked to do it.
Yes.
I think it really comes down to that kind of self-care approach. So, like, some days I know that I just need to give myself a bit of a kick up the arse and go out and do something, go to the gym. I'll do something. Like, last night I did a kettlebell workout that I really enjoyed, and it really kind of just gave me a bit of a boost. And I mean, again, something that I found interestingly is timing of exercise as well, so perhaps that's something I can touch on. But so for me at the moment, And I kind of just try and tune into what my body needs each day. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it is just doing a bit of yoga. Sometimes it's going out for a walk. And I mean, well, to be honest, almost every day it's going out for a walk unless the weather's really, really bad. So that's something I've recently knew that I've adopted, but I go out for a lunchtime walk. And that's made a big difference to my energy levels in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So just kind of having, and I think just being outdoors and getting the natural light on in my eyes and on my skin and stuff, it really helps. What I've kind of found with exercise, so I used to be a very, very solid early morning exerciser. I would find it so much easier to exercise in the morning. Since I've had Finley, I've kind of struggled with the mornings because although I don't feel, although quickly within an hour of waking up, I feel, and you know, like my energy picks up. When I first kind of wake up, I feel a little bit dazed and confused and a bit groggy.
Yeah.
Depending on what the night before was kind of done. So I actually find, and plus just in terms of like the way that I work, and I find that I'm much more creative and focused in the morning.
Yeah.
So I exercise late afternoon. So I exercise about 4 p.m. now. And I find that that fits in well for me, but then it might not fit in very well for other people. Do you know what I mean? So I think part of it isn't really about tuning into what's going to work for you and what's going to work for your life as well. So I think the ideal, like the ideal time would be in the morning, but if that's not going to work for you, then that's fine.
It's finding that, because I used to do it a lot in the evening, I think, years ago when I was running a lot. I would always go for a run at the end of the day, about like 5 or 6 o'clock. But this past year, I've never really been an exercise in the morning kind of person until probably kind of the start of 2016, what was then. And that's, I found that really helpful. I never used to like it because I would feel a bit groggy in the morning, but because often when you do exercise, it is a stress to the body, but it's a good stress, and it can cause your kind of cortisol and stuff to increase. So it depends on how healthy your sort of cortisol levels and your adrenals are. So for me, I know at the moment my cortisol is just too high. So if I exercise in the evening, then I spike it again, if that makes sense. But for people where their cortisol is maybe just a bit low, which is just, cortisol is just a hormone that's secreted by the adrenal glands in your body, and it's just important for a whole bunch of things. We'll talk about it another time. But so I find the morning really helpful, but I used to be an evening person. So I think probably I sometimes see people running at like 10 p.m. at night. I don't think that's a great idea. I mean, for safety more than anything, but for just from, I think exercising, you really want to get it done before 8 p.m. and be finished. Otherwise I think you can sometimes be a bit too wired before going to sleep. But I think it's fine. It's trying it out. So if you listen to this and you're not sure, like try exercise at different points in the day. Try first thing. Try at lunchtime. Some people,
I see plenty of people out running when I go for my walk. I see lots of people out running on a lunchtime. I think it is. I think it's just kind of trial and error and see what works for you. And know that it might change. So like one month to the next, it might just change. And again, you know, most people are going to be restricted in terms of the jobs and the way that they've got their lives set up about when you can do it as well. So I think it's just all kind of bearing that stuff in mind.
Yeah, and being aware of over-exercising as well. I think there'll be people who listen to this that actually just struggle to exercise and the motivation to do that. And there'll be people who listen to this that could easily, that are right now going to 5 gym classes a week. They're running, they're doing the yoga, they're doing a lot, and actually sometimes that is, it's a really fine balance between doing enough exercise and doing too much. And I know my slight kind of driven personality, I'm more inclined to do too much. And actually, and the sign for that is if you don't feel recovered and more energized after exercising, it's probably a sign that you're doing a little bit too much. So say you do, I'll say you go for a run on the gym on Monday, and then, you know, after Monday evening, you're still totally exhausted and you're trying to do more exercise on Tuesday. That's really not a great idea. You've really got to kind of balance it, and rest with exercise is often as important as the exercise itself, because you've got to give your muscles time to repair and heal, because you just tear them up basically when you exercise and you've got to let them chill out.
I think if you know that you're really exhausted, I just don't think you should be exercising full stop. If you're really exhausted, that's not going to help. I think if you're just a little bit tired and you just need a bit of a perk up, brilliant. But if you know that you're exhausted, and like you know the difference.
Yeah, you do. The only caveat that I would say to that is going on a walk, like a slow, walk. I think that's really good. Because I try and do that now. I've cut back on my exercise because of my adrenal. So I do that, like, I do something proper, like, you know, proper air quotes, 3 times a week. And then every day I go for a walk. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a really slow, tiny walk to my shop to where I buy milk. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it's like a more proper walk up a hill or something. Mm-hmm. But it's and that's good. That's good for my brain more than anything.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
Underestimate the power of walking as well. Some people just hate exercise, and then they'll tell me sometimes, clients, so it's like, oh, well, I just walk the dog. That's a great thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. God, yeah.
You don't have to go to a gym.
Yeah, I've had clients as well, and they've kind of said, like, oh, I walk the dog, and it's like, it's rubbish, but it's really, really good. You know what I mean? It's fab doing that.
And
I mean,
it's free and easy. Yeah. Everyone can go for a walk.
Walking's so underrated, I think, as a form of exercise.
So underrated. I love it. I feel like I want to make a t-shirt that's like some
walking
cool
box.
Slogan. Yeah, yeah. It's just like some brand hashtag, I'm walking. It's like everyone's got all these like Instagram things of like, look at me squatting and lifting heavy weights.
And we're like, walking
rocks. Look at me walking. I'm just walking kind of relatively moderate pace at the park.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would catch on as much. But I think those are probably the kind of main key things mm-hmm. around energy. Is there anything you would probably add to that, Laura, in terms of things that you know have helped for you?
I think definitely, I mean, in terms of like from the self-care point of view, I think it is just kind of recognising, and this is something that I've kind of gone backwards and forwards. I think we mentioned a bit at the start, but I think it's really important to see it as like, see the stuff that you do as like a part of a self-care kind of practice, and don't let things become excuses. So I know for me, like I did let the fact that I wasn't getting very much sleep at night become an excuse to just let everything else go to shit, basically. Mm-hmm. What I needed to do was kind of think, right, I can do some things. And I mean, this is what I ended up doing. I kind of sat and journaled. And it was like, right, I'm not feeling very good. I'm blaming it on sleep, but I can do a whole lot more. So I looked at my supplementation. I started eating. I changed what I ate for breakfast. You know, I started making those little steps. So I think it's kind of saying to yourself, like, what can I do? Like, just little steps that might make a difference. And definitely go and see your GP. I mean, that's something that I've done recently, to get a blood test to rule out some stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you're not feeling right, get it checked out. I think a lot of us just kind of think that that not having energy is normal.
It's just part of being a woman.
Like I said, I do think, you know, tracking your cycle is something that I would totally recommend to any woman. Even if you're postmenopausal, I think there's still benefits that can happen just by tracking your own energy levels and mm-hmm. your own kind of changes throughout the month. It probably won't follow the same pattern, but you know, there's going to be changes and shifts and things. So I think that's really important to just kind of consider those factors as well.
I think it's important. And I suppose the only thing that is worth being aware of as well, from a really practical point of view, is getting stuck in the caffeine trap as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell.
I'm laughing at that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell, because I love coffee. I used to manage a coffee shop. I am like the coffee snob. I love it.
I'm the same, to be honest.
Yeah, and Laura's
the
same.
So, coffee, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you that coffee is evil, because it is not. It is awesome. Same with tea. I'm also a tea fan as well. I grew up with a mum who'd always wake me up every morning with a cup of tea, even when I didn't like it. At age 14, she'd be like, I made you a cup of tea. I'd be like, thanks, mum. I don't actually drink tea, but thanks. But I do think it's worth, like kind of Laura's been saying, just kind of connecting with that, just engaging with that, like making sure if coffee helps in the morning, then great and you enjoy it, but making sure you don't use it, you don't depend on it too much, because I've had work with clients, so it gets to the point where they're getting, it's very easy to start with 2 coffees a day, which is fine, and then maybe to 4, and then maybe to 5, and then maybe to 6.
I'd be absolutely jitteries. I mean, I'd I've cut it down.
I'd be so wired.
I'd be and off me rocker.
It's just not. And it is a stimulant for the body massively. And it is. And it's finding your balance with that. So I don't metabolize caffeine very well. So I'm very sensitive. If I have 1 caffeinated coffee a day, I'm like ready to go until midnight. but some people aren't. So it's finding your balance with that and just being aware of, okay, how much am I drinking? Just from a really physical point of view, if you have a long period of time where you are kind of inadvertently having 5-6 cups of coffee or even tea, tea has still got quite a good amount of caffeine in every day, you can sometimes not support your kind of adrenal health and your blood sugar. It does affect your blood sugar. So it's just, it's not about going all weird on yourself. It's just about connecting with it and really listening to your body. Like, because your morning cup of coffee might be this beautiful ritual that you really...
It is for me. And I mean, the changes that I've made with coffee is I try and have it after I've eaten breakfast. That makes it much better on my blood sugar. I try and stick with one. I have it with whole organic milk. And yeah, I just make it something that I, it's something that I genuinely really look forward to. I love coffee. So that's really, really helped make it kind of work for me, I think. When I get up to 2 to 3 cups of coffee, then I really can feel it and I feel anxious and just not good at all. Like dizzy and just like really weird and off. So I think it's just, just kind of see what your tolerance is for it and just try and keep it relatively low. But I think make it, you know, if you're a coffee fan, like, you know, just
go for it.
Go for the
like, make it into a proper ritual.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Because often, sometimes people will tell me in, like, shy voices, like, well, I do like coffee. Like, I had a client who just felt really guilty about her coffee. I was like, no, like we talked about, you know, people get around food, then listen to our previous episode.
I think the pleasure that you get from it outweighs the negative when it's like one cup, two.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that the pleasure that you're going to get from it's going to outweigh any negative consequences from drinking it. Especially if you kind of take steps like having it with food or after food and
that and kind with of stuff. Fat, ideally,
yeah, with fat. Yeah. I mean, I used to have
milk.
I used to do the whole bulletproof. Well, I used to blend it with coconut oil before I used to go to the gym when I was kind of going early morning. And that did work. You know, that gave me kind of enough of a boost to get going. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for everyone at all. But
no, some people don't like the taste.
No. But yeah, so there's different ways you can kind of approach it, I think, with coffee.
Yeah, and it is. It's doing it to a way that's going to help you feel good. I have a coffee shop around the corner. That's what I go there and get
if I had a coffee, I'm saying that I do kind of have a coffee shop around the corner. But I've got like an espresso machine, but it's just like,
you've got your fancy coffee machine.
I've got two coffee machines.
I have to limit my little trips to, it's called Tapa around the corner. I'm kind of like a regular there. I'm like, hi. So I try and limit it to like once a week, and otherwise I've spent most of my income on coffee, and they also sell good cake as well, which is also nice, which is fun. But so that is, I think when it comes to energy, I think in terms of actions taken away, I think some of what Laura's saying, I think what you're saying was really good about self-care, about what it's kind of, is the energy, is it being an excuse for anything? Like, how is that interacting with you looking after yourself? Like, is it getting in the way of you actually nourishing and making time for you? And just asking yourself that question, just taking 30 seconds to reflect on that is really helpful. And I think if you take away one thing from this, it is looking at adding a bit more fat and protein, especially at breakfast, to help stabilize. And ideally a little bit more through the day, but start small, start with breakfast.
Yeah.
Make that shift and just connect to your caffeine intake, if that's got a positive impact on your day or negative impact on your day, and just think about that, because it might add a beautiful ritual to your day, or it might make you feel like you're a shaky, slightly hysterical, starving kind of totally wired coffee. And you know, only you can decide that.
And I think definitely if you know that something's off, like, go and see your doctor. I think that's really important as well, because it can be, you know, like we mentioned, iron, vitamin D, thyroid, also things. It's worth doing that, even if it's just about ruling that out.
Do less stuff if you're too busy.
I was gonna say, you know, sometimes I think there's a massive component to this, which is, sometimes you can like be emotionally exhausted. If you're in a job that you hate, it can, you know, you're going to be emotionally exhausted. If your relationships and stuff are a bit strained at home, like, that can be exhausted. Like, there's, you know, maybe it's just do a bit of a life audit and just think, like, what's kind of what's exhausting me.
Yeah,
that's really good. And just think of it in like a really multi-dimensional way, because I think sometimes there's other things like that, but you know, the no-brainer stuff, like, you know, just making sure that you're eating, like mm-hmm. you say, you know, fat, protein. I think fibre is a good one as well, just to make sure that you've got fibre in there as well. But yeah, hopefully that's been really helpful for people listening. But I think the thing to take away as well, you know, like, we're both coaches, we talk about this, we live and breathe this kind of stuff, and we still, you know, we're not perfect either. No. I think it's more about recognising that you want to change something and then just taking steps.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we do. That's what we kind of tell, you know, support our clients to do themselves, is to just take some steps. So just think about the things that we've talked about and just see what steps you can take.
Yeah, definitely. And if you've enjoyed this episode, then do make sure you head over to iTunes and subscribe. And it would make us very happy if you left us a little review, because it's always nice to know that this is helping people. And also, do give us your feedback. If you want us to cover any specific topics, then do let us know. Head over to our website, which is wholehealthylive.com, and you can leave a comment on there or find our social media things from that point. And if you have a friend who is struggling with energy, then feel free to share this with them. It might be helpful. Otherwise, we will see you next time.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.